And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. And I know in the sound booth, you guys are going to give me those verses up there. My God, that is great. What did you guys kill Buddy? Where's Buddy at? On the bathroom. I've had to do that many times. I remember one time I was up here and Beth was here. I was teasing. I said, man, I have to go to the bathroom. Now, am I being recorded yet? Don't record me till I wind catch you. I said, but I have to go to the restroom. And I, these that I love. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And he's talking about with other people in the body of Christ. Okay? Verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. My grandmother used to say that to me, Angie. Never let the sun go down on you being angry with somebody. Try to straighten it out. And then here's the last verse. It's the essence of what I want to say. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. Neither give place to the devil. You know, if you go to and get a hotel room, and if it's got any goodness about it, they will they will give place to you. They will put clean sheets and different amenities in the room that you'll enjoy. I remember one time we had amenities of hair dryers in there and irons and stuff like that. Iron. There's a really nice hotel in Branson. And we were pulling away from there, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and there was Shelly. And she had an iron. I said, Shelly? What are you doing? She said, well, I took the iron. She said, they're free, aren't they? I said, no, Shelly. She was, one of the things we had to teach Shelly was how to go to hotel rooms and do it right and not pick stuff that you're going to. I said, now I'm going to have to pay for that. So we're turning around, and I think I had you and her go in there and return it. It was just an accident that happened. But anyway, my thought tonight, I've entitled, Close the Windows and Lock the Doors, okay? Give no place for the devil. Don't give him room in your life. He doesn't want to come and have tea and crumpets with you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life and get you messed up in relationships with friendships or the other kind also, where you're messed up, where they'll mess you up, where they can mess your life up, where you get a soul tie, where you're messed up for years and years and years. See, we're here to break stuff like that. Try to break it. We've seen it broken many times. But that is the essence of my thought. Close all the windows in your life. Lock all the doors that lets the devil in. Now, there was a song when I was a kid, and part of the lyrics were, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. You learn the devil's knock. Learn when somebody's trying to chump you and take from you. Learn, and don't let them even get the first base. And there's many ways that Satan destroys lives. And some of the places where Satan works in our lives is this here. When we refuse to let go of hurts and offenses, we've got a problem. And it's going to grow. And if you stew on that and keep churning that just like churning butter, pretty soon you'll be able to make toast and put that butter on there and enjoy it all you want. But my thought is to this here. Close the window to that offense and lock the doors. Don't let the devil in. You're not thinking up that garbage by yourself. Somebody's helping you. Be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you have to tell them, in the name of Jesus, you may not devour me. I will not let you do that in my life. Why? Because we're loved by a Savior who went to our cross and took our death and gave us his life. The Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know him in the fellowship of the suffering and the power of his resurrection. And that's what God truly offers. Some of these other things that we've heard in these times here, I don't agree with. Another one where Satan tries to work in our lives is we refuse to forgive, or we take our own sweet time about it. Now, I can imagine if you don't want to hear this and you just want to, but if you want to learn something here tonight, open your heart and learn it. Refuse to forgive. When you refuse to forgive, I have been like this. I think this message was mostly to me, but I see a little bit of this in each one of you too, so don't get too happy. Now, here's another one. And boy, I'll tell you, I've done this. And I've got polished at it. I'm good at it. When you refuse to stop judging others, and you talk about them, and you know all about it, you know why they're suffering. See? In the book of Job, God showed the whole world for 42 chapters, we don't know what we're talking about. And we better leave people alone and try to help them and try to love them. People, if they, you know what? They don't need anybody else to correct them. They need somebody to just love them, don't they? Just love them. And some of you are so much better at that than I am. And I draw from you. And I'm convicted by that. And I am working on it. See, leave every person to work out. Everybody say, work out. Their own salvation in fear and trembling. Because if you miss, I saw the latest movie with Kevin Sorbo in it, the latest Left Behind movie. Now, if anybody's cold or hot, you could just do what you want. I'll be okay. Made it hotter or colder? Well, just do whatever you want. Refuse to stop. When you refuse to stop judging people, that's going to bite you in the back end. That's really going to get bad. See, you're not coming back. There's no second. There's not two or three lives. There's just one life. And we need to work these things out. We need to work out our salvation. So what I'm asking you to do tonight in just a moment is to just be honest. Which is, I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up. It's not that kind of a night. But when we talk about others in such a way that we know exactly why they're going through what they're going through. See, maybe, what if we don't? And the chances are we really don't. I can hardly figure out why I'm doing, you know, my own life. And I certainly can't figure out somebody else's life. Now, tonight, if this is rolling off of you like water on a duck's back, I am sorry, but I'm not lighting up. You know what? One of these days, little did I know that Chuck was going to be open to you asking him. See, unless he gets another miracle, what's the best miracle? To be born again. What would a person give in exchange for their soul? Now, medical science says he ain't going to make it. He's, I think, feels that way. I'm not going to make it. And he said, sister, I'm scared as hell. What should I do? And she just, Mary's a very gentle person. She said, brother, could I just lead you in the sinner's prayer? He said, yes. He said, yes. And his wife did too. That's the fruit of a born-again life. That's the fruit of it. You replicate yourself. You refuse to say, I'm sorry, when you're wrong. Now, I could do that better than anybody I know, really. I just don't have any trouble. Most people, they'll say, well, you know. He understands. No. No, God's looking. You know what? I've said this throughout my preaching at this place. If you had to go back and say you're sorry for all the junk you did to other people, you'd be so embarrassed that you might stop doing those terrible things to people. Can I get an amen? Isn't that true? So we don't want to just say, I'm sorry. We want to do it fast. I do it very regularly with people. I told somebody the other day, I did wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? If I told you I was wrong, I told you I was sorry, would you forgive me? Good. That's the right answer. See, we're going to be teaching on this. I have about three messages rolling around in my head, and this is the one I decided to do tonight. And last thing is this. I want you to see this, and I want to tell you, I see this in the church. I see it all the time with people that are making their plans to go to heaven, and I want them to go to heaven too. You refuse to lay down your rights to insist that you are right. You refuse to just give in. What is the big freaking deal, for God's sake? You didn't see Jesus do that, did you? Man, they slammed him with everything they could think of. I love what he told Pontius Pilate. By the way, Pontius Pilate received Christ as his Savior before he died. He also was ordered by Caesar to go home and commit suicide. And Pontius Pilate was a haughty dude. He was sent there because Caesar didn't want to see him anymore for a while. And Israel, that was a terrible place to have to go. And he just looked down his nose at Jesus and said, don't you know I have the power to take your life? And Jesus said, let me tell you something, sir. You don't have any power that my Father didn't give you. And if you're in a circumstance . Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up in due season. If you're going through something right now, if you spent just half the time humbling yourself as you do trying to figure it all out, just say, Lord, you know, in 1 minute, thousands and thousands of dollars was of damage was done to my house. Pour things up. They had to put a whole new roof on. They're still working on it. And you know what I realized? I wanted to be like Job. I wanted to be like Jesus, who just, you know, John the Baptist saw him, and the purest of spirits have said, behold, the Son of Man, the Son of God, that taketh away the sins of the world. What a beautiful essence of the Catholic faith, where every year for, I think it's every, right before Easter, is it 40 days? There's Lent. What a beautiful thing. You know, the church doesn't ask for it. We just think if we pump you up and tell you what you can have, if you'll give another dollar. See, that has nothing to do with nothing. See, the truth of the matter is, we better let go of the old hurts and offenses. We better forgive. We better stop judging. We better start saying, I'm sorry and I was wrong. And we better lay down our rights. That's what happens when your soul gets touched by the Lord. Put up Romans 13:14, fellas. Thank you, and God bless you. Doing a fantastic job. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. See, make no provision. Don't make a meal and set out nice gifts for the devil to come. Make no provision. Don't let him in. Tell him, I hear you knocking, but you cannot come in. Make no provision for the flesh. Everybody say flesh. Everybody says my flesh stinks. Now that's what the Word of God says about everybody's flesh. And if you say you don't have flesh, it's like in 1 John 1:7, it says, if you say that you haven't sinned, you're wrong. Make no provision for the flesh. See, that we're talking about the devil. Now we're talking about your flesh. Your flesh and the devil, they really jing together to good. Together. Your flesh. Your sin nature. And when the devil tries to get you, he's not appealing to your good nature. He's not appealing to the Holy Spirit. He's appealing to your flesh. And make no provision for that flesh. Just don't do it. To fulfill the lusts thereof. Try not to do that. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 in the NLT, please. All right. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Here's what it is. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, or getting stoned, wild parties, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that anyone living that way, anybody that's doing that all the time, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against those, there is no law. If you're acting like this, if that's what's coming out of you, you're that's it. See? Let's go to last place tonight. Close the windows now and lock the doors to these things in your life. Don't let them, don't meditate on them while you're going down the road. Well, they shouldn't have done me that way. I'm going to get them one up. I learned when I was a kid working for Ma Bell, I heard this and it got stuck in my craw. Don't get mad, get even. And I began to live like that. Can I tell you that's the wrong way to live? You know what? Everything that's the right way to live, it's harder. It's a little bit harder. You have to have a goal. How many of you are pretty sure, because if you're not, I can sure teach on hell, that you don't want to go to hell? Okay. Me too. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, here it is, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. As Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So when you see something is guiding you along other than yourself, you're going one way or another. The Word here makes it very clear in the same little area. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh, the evil nature, lusts against the Spirit, that's a capital S, the Holy Spirit that's inside of every believer, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. These are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Have you ever found that you're trying to do something and just couldn't get it done? You need to have a Jesus nap. You need to talk with Jesus. You need to begin to confess. And I want you to think about this because we're going to go right now. Is there anybody you need to call up? Is there anybody you need to apologize to? Do you need to apologize to the Holy Spirit? Is there anybody that you haven't let go? You're just going to hang on to that. You're just going to hang on it and hang on it. And then when something happens to that person, you're going to say, I know why that happened, because they did this or that. you just get yourself deeper and deeper and deeper in trouble. Now, isn't this better than me reciting poems to you, telling you the truth? Well, the truth is over for tonight. Let me say this here. If you can't get on your knees, get on your knees in your heart. I'm asking everyone that's going to take communion here tonight. You don't have to take communion. You don't have to do anything you don't want to. But I'm asking you to examine your heart, like the word says, and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. If some of this has touched your heart, and you say, my God, some of that is me, tell the Lord. It's better than telling anybody else. And if the Lord tells you to call somebody and make something right, do it. Give us a little more volume on that music. Something to each and every one of you. Refusing to let go of old hurts, I'm guilty of that. And I have to keep that under check. Refusing to forgive others, I'm guilty of that. And I have to stop that. How do you forgive somebody? You pray for them before God and ask God to forgive them like Jesus did, say, for they didn't know, they didn't mean to hurt me. All of a sudden, you become their lawyer in the throne room. Refuse to stop judging. I'm guilty of that. I'm pretty good at saying I'm sorry. I'll even say sorry when I think you're wrong, because it doesn't matter to me. And maybe if we would have known how bad we hurt others, We wouldn't have done it. So ask them for forgiveness. I dare you to ask somebody for forgiveness this week. Say, I did you wrong. I'm sorry. I was wrong. There's no excuse. And lay down our rights to insist that we're right all the time. I've been guilty of that. I have to keep these things in check in my life if I want to. So, Brother Larry, you feel like coming up here one more time, and Brother Frank, proud of everybody in this church. I really love my new son-in-law. He's a wonderful fella. He's a good man. All of you are good. Sometimes the biggest jerk in the whole place is the one that brings the message. That's just the truth. Brother Larry knows. You know one thing that you know about me? Hey, look at me just for a second. Remember when this was New Life Fellowship? I was working in Fayetteville. And on a midweek service, did I miss any of them midweek service? I'd come in here with dirty clothes on. I thought that God could use me, and he is. All right, everybody that wants, just pass out. Everybody.